Thank you very much for that beautiful anthem. Thank you, Pastor Graham, for those wonderful words of welcome and your friendship over the years, but especially this last year. He has brought me great joy with his wonderful tennis skills. And my health has improved because he makes me run all over the court. So glad to see my classmate, Victor, right here, front and center. I don't think he realizes what's going to happen to him when he came to church this morning. Because Pastor Graham asked me to speak on something to help you reflect as we reach the end of the year and we start on a new year. And if you don't get anything out of my message, at least I hope on page 5 there's a pastoral message for the yearly review. That's very helpful. But if you see over the page on page 6, Pastor Graham said this is an unusual sermon outline, so I may never get invited back to preach, but if you've got one shot, this is what I'm going to do. Right. I'd like to begin by telling you a story. If I could have the PowerPoint presentation up, that would help. The story is about a boy named John. He loves going to school. He's 15 years old. And the main reason he loves going to school is that there's a girl in his class called Rachel. And John thinks Rachel is beautiful. But John is a little bit shy and he hasn't actually spoken to Rachel. So one day when he goes, actually most days when he goes to school, all he does is he looks across the classroom. He's seated on one side of the class and Rachel is seated on the other side of the class. And he's not paying attention to the teacher. He's just looking straight at Rachel. And then one day, Rachel looks straight back at him and smiles. That gives John a little bit of a shock. And then something else happened. Rachel got up, walked all the way across the classroom, came up to John's desk and asked to borrow a pen from him. Oh, without a word, he just gave the pen. And so after school, he was confused. And when he's confused, he likes to go to his favorite place. This is a picture of by the beach. And he brought his best friend, Stuart, along with him. And he said, "Stuart, let me tell you what happened in school today. Rachel smiled at me. Do you think she loves me?"
"Think so."
All right, thank you, Victor. But in my story, Stuart didn't say anything. But, you know, John is so excited. And he said, no, come on, Stuart. You know what happened? She got up. She walked all the way across the class to my desk. So many people she could ask to borrow a pen from. But no, she borrows a pen from me. I'm sure she loves me. What do you think?"
"Maybe she loves you."
That's good. Thank you. But you know, in my story, Stuart again just thinks about it and doesn't say anything. "Stuart, this weekend we have a class outing. What do you think? After the class outing, should I just go up to her and ask her, just the two of us, go to McDonald's for a treat? Do you think I'm being too forward? Or do you think this is a good thing?"
"Why not give it a try?"
Yeah, but in my story, Stuart still doesn't say anything. So by this time, John is a bit frustrated. He sits down in front of Stuart and he holds Stuart, you know, eyeball to eyeball. "Says, Stuart, you're my best friend. At least give me your opinion. Tell me what you think. Does she love me?" So finally, Stuart clears his throat and he says, his best friend, Stuart, is his pet dog. Now, there are two reasons I tell you this story. One is not such an important reason because Victor is here. Normally, when I preach, I like to ask questions and people answer so that helps to keep some people awake, you know. But by the way, if you fall asleep in church, that's fine. Because if you can't sleep in church, you know, you can't be at rest in the house of God. Where can you be at rest? Well, I got no problems if you fall asleep in church. But can I ask you a favor? If I fall asleep, can somebody wake me up? You know, that's not so good. All right, but there's a second and more important reason I tell this story, and I'll come to it in a minute. Let me show you the next Question which, Victor, you should be able to answer. There's only one time in the Bible where Jesus says only one thing is needed or only one thing is necessary. Do you remember that time? Love is the one, yes, love is the greatest command. There's no doubt about that. But there's only one time when Jesus said only one thing is needed. Come on, somebody help him out here. What was the one time? Say again? Believe, is it? Did you say? Faith, believe. These are wonderful things. But that's not the time when Jesus said only one thing is needed. Sacrifice. That's a wonderful word. We need to sacrifice. And all these things are very important. Okay. Listen to what he says. Yes, yes. But what, do you remember the occasion? Yes, we read it. We read it this morning. We read it in the scripture reading. All right. Luke chapter 10, that verses we read. Jesus visits the home of Mary and Martha. Martha is so busy doing all these things. And but where's Mary? She seems to be doing nothing. All right? She's just sitting down at the feet of Jesus doing nothing. And so Martha scolds Jesus and says, tell Mary to come and help me. But that's when Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are distracted by many things, but only one thing is needed, is necessary. And Mary has chosen what is right and won't be taken from her. So that's my thought for you as we conclude this year. And as we go into the new year, I'm hoping, like Mary, we will all be able to do the one thing that is needed. That's to sit quietly and listen to Jesus. So this is the next question. So this is, in a sense, why I told that story. So it's a bit frustrated if you talk to somebody and the person doesn't reply. Okay? It's a bit, that's why the dog story. But sometimes we are frustrated in our prayer because prayer just seems to be a one-way conversation. It's as if we are just talking and there's no sense of his response. But if you search the scriptures clearly, thoroughly, you will find that it's clear that prayer was always meant to be a dialogue, a two-way conversation. So listening is an essential part of prayer. And that's captured in this beautiful story that was read for us this morning. And here I've got another question then for you. And I've already had some answers, but I'll tell you now they're not correct. There are many instructions that Jesus gave his disciples. His disciples dutifully recorded them for us in the scripture. Oh, sorry, there was a correct answer given already. And you've got to choose the correct answer. So Jesus gave these instructions to his disciples. The disciples wrote them down in the scripture. Which instruction written in the scriptures have been written the most times? So of all the answers that were given earlier, do you think which was the one that was repeated the most often? Love was said many times, it's true, but the one I'm thinking about was actually recorded 15 times. Faith, no? No, it's this one. He who has ears, let him hear. Or what you said, listen carefully. Someone said, listen carefully, which is basically what it is. He who has ears, let him hear. 7 times in the Gospels, 8 times in the book of Revelation, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I think you can complete this statement that's there for you. My sheep know my, that's right, John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice. Like Mary, we need to do the one thing that's necessary, learn to sit quietly at his feet and listen to what he's got to say. So my next question for Victor is, Victor, how do you hear the voice of God?
I shouldn't have come today.
No. You heard the Spirit prompting you to come. And that's why you are here to help me. I can only do this to a classmate and friend of mine. I'm sure you have sensed God speaking to you in the past. Tell us some of the ways in which He has spoken to you.
You have to be quiet.
You have to be quiet, good.
And you have to listen.
You have to listen. What are you doing when God speaks to you? Or how? What is the channel that He speaks to you?
Through your conscience.
Through your conscience, yes.
Sometimes you feel it in the heart.
You feel it in your heart, yes. Anybody want to help him out? How does God speak to you? Through the Bible, wonderful. And any more, anything else? Through prayer, in times of prayer, you sense something. Someone? Through the? Oh, thank you for saying that. Well done, Graham. Through the preacher. You know, sometimes I ask this question and people say everything except the preacher, you know. Anyway, you can think of many ways that the Lord can speak to you. And while you're praying, through friends, you think about the circumstances, through sometimes you have an inner prompting. Some people have visions. God speaks to some people through dreams. The choir very often speaks God's word to me. Or the worship leaders, as you've chosen the songs, as we sing, God speaks. I love going out. I was in Punggol yesterday, and whenever I'm out with nature, I feel so close to the Lord. It sort of helps in prayer. So there are many ways that God speaks to us. So we need to learn to listen to the voice of God. And God has spoken in the past clearly to His people, and it's recorded for us in the scriptures, and that's an important guide. But the thing to remember is this: God is also speaking today in the present. And He's speaking through a whole series of different ways that we need to learn to listen to. But now, if this doesn't sound like a strange question, I'm just asking this to try and help us do this one thing that's necessary. What does God's voice sound like, Victor?
I think you know it when you hear it.
You know it when you hear it. Have you heard an audible voice?
No, but you just...
So it's an inward voice. Now, I don't want to embarrass people here, but normally when I ask a whole congregation, Pastor Graham, have you heard an audible voice? God speaks to you in an audible voice. No. Yeah. You know, but some people have heard an audible voice, and I'm kind of envious of them, but I'm glad you also haven't heard. So at least... So most of us actually haven't heard an audible voice. And even the people who have heard an audible voice don't hear it very often. It's just very occasionally. Okay? So I would put to you like this. I think for most of us, most of the time, God's voice sounds like just an idea that comes into our mind. But of course, there are so many ideas that come into our mind. How do we know this is really from God? How do you tell the difference between God's voice and all the different thoughts? And in fact, the scriptures warn us that Satan puts ideas into our mind sometimes that sound like the truth, that sometimes quote the Bible. Oh, how do we know when it is really God who is speaking to us? So of course then we've got to test it. And how do we test it? We test it with the scriptures. That's why, you know, I love the tradition you have of bringing the scriptures in at the of the service. This is our test stone. We need to know the scriptures. That helps us to discern the voice of God. But also, the next point, we need to check with others, our church leaders. Pastor Graham was praying for our small groups. It's a community that listens together. So, great humility is required in this exercise of listening to the voice of God. We should never think, oh, I'm the only one who can hear the voice of God. No, this is something we do together as a community gathered around the Word of God, the Scriptures. Alright? Alright, next question. Victor. Or somebody else can help me. How often do you think God wants to speak to you? How often? What do you think? Huh? Say again? All the time?
Depends.
Depends on what?
people in Israel, Hebrew people in Egypt waited for 400 years.
Right? Oh, okay, so God didn't speak for 400 years, you're saying. So sometimes he doesn't speak for 400 years. Could it be that God was speaking but people weren't listening? Could it be? All right. Okay, I'm going to try and convince you that I believe God wants to speak to us, if not all the time, at least every day. All right? So I'm going to try and convince you of this. This is a picture of the Judean wilderness. I don't know if you recall the story, but when Jesus went to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist, after that he came out of the waters, the Spirit of God came upon him, and the Bible says the Spirit led him into the wilderness for 40 days. So he's there having a time, he's drawing close to the Lord for 40 days in a time of prayer. Satan is there, of course. Funny thing, you know, when you want to draw closer to God, Satan is also present. Right? We're in this spiritual battle. Anyway, he's there for 40 days. At the end of 40 days, he's very hungry. And Satan says to him, if you are the Son of God, look, there's so many stones around. Turn these stones into bread. And what does Jesus reply? Anybody remember? Yeah, he quoted scripture and said? Excellent. Thank you very much. He quoted scripture and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you happen to know where the scripture was he quoted from? No. Okay, I'll give you a clue. It's a story about bread in the Old Testament. What's the story about bread in the Old Testament? Exactly correct. All right. Here's Moses. He's just delivered the people out of Egypt. The miraculous crossing of the Red Sea. And now he's got a million people to feed in the desert. How does it happen? A mysterious substance falls from the sky and covers the ground. There's lots of it. And the Hebrew word for it is manna, as you rightly said. It just means, what is this? They haven't seen it before, but they find they can eat it. And it sustains them in the desert. Now the question I have for you is, there's so much of this stuff lying all around. Could I go and collect a whole week's supply? After all, I don't know whether tomorrow there'll be manna on the ground. Could I collect a whole week's supply? No? Actually, you could, because there was a lot. And some people did try to collect, but something happened to it. What happened to it? It turned bad. There were worms. It became moldy. All right? So, they had to go out every day to collect this manna. And that's the scripture. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it records for us, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So that was a whole exercise of teaching, and Jesus repeats that teaching. So what he's saying is this, we need daily bread. Yesterday's manna, yesterday's bread, turns moldy and wormy. Just as we need bread, rice, noodles every day to sustain us, Jesus is saying we need the Word of God to sustain us every day. So that's why I say, let God at least speak to us. Nurture, feed us, feed our spirit every day. What did the Lord say to you yesterday? Do you remember? Okay, so I hope in the new year we get into this practice of feeding on the Word of the Lord every day. And sometimes we will not remember what the Lord has spoken to us. And I want to tell you a reason why I think this is so. Not just because we've got bad memories, perhaps that's part of the reason, but there's another reason. So I ask another question. The question I'm trying to answer is, well, if it's so important for us to feed and meditate on the Word of the Lord, how do we remember what the Lord has been saying to us? Okay, so I ask this question, what is the most important parable that Jesus told? I know this is not in your list of questions, these are extra questions, bonus, no extra charge, all right? But What do you think is the most important parable that Jesus told? Anybody want to guess? Sorry? Well, okay, I really don't know if it's the most important, so it's a bit, this question is not that accurate. But I think it's the most important one, because Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you can't understand the rest. So to me, this is a pivotal parable. Did I give you a clue? Okay, it's the parable of the sower. Right, I'm not going to go into another long sermon about the parable of the sower, because Pastor Graham warned me there's a trapdoor somewhere that opens up when the time for preaching has ended. But the most important parable, or the one that explains the other parables, is this. Jesus told the story of a farmer who went out sowing seed. And what was the seed? The seed represented the Word of God, right? The seed is the Word of God. And some seed fell along the pathway, right? And the birds came and took that. Do you remember when Jesus explained the parable what the birds are? It represented the evil one trying to take away the word from us each time it lands on our hearts. So this is my suspicion why we often find it hard to remember what God is saying to us. Because every time God tries to speak to us, the evil one is trying to snatch the word from us. So we need to be vigilant about this and pay close attention. So, for centuries, the gift of writing has been called a spiritual gift. Now, in Singapore here, we take it for granted. Most of you can read and write. But for centuries, if you could read or write, you were considered to be a holy person, a very special, a very holy person. You must use this gift to help in spiritual development. All right? So I'm asking you to use this spiritual gift of writing. And that's why we have the Holy Scriptures. If people who didn't take the time to write down what God had spoken, we wouldn't have the Scriptures. This is deeply embedded into the whole way in which we live. And we can follow this example by learning to use this discipline of writing to catch the inspiration. When God speaks something, write it down, write it down. This practice has been encouraged by pastors for over 1,000 years, and I would encourage you to do the same. So write it down. So maybe you would consider in the new year, maybe start today to begin a prayer journal. And remember that prayer is meant to be a dialogue. So the prayer journal records not only what you are asking the Lord for, but what you sense His response to you, what He may be saying to you in reply. And so in your prayer journal, I put there, write at least one sentence which expresses what you think the Lord has been saying to you for that day. Give us each day our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so this is what I try to do religiously. I try to write down at least one sentence which captures what I sense the Lord has been speaking to me today, or is speaking. And very often what I'm doing is I'm just copying scripture. And I found that the practice of just copying out one verse of scripture every day, this is the word of the Lord for me today, and I'm meditating on it, I find that to be a wonderful, wonderful experience. But that's a way of catching the inspiration and remembering what God has been saying to us. Okay, so the voice of God, like Mary wanted to learn to listen. God has spoken to us in the past through the Bible, but He's still speaking in the present through many different ways. Let's learn to listen. My final point on that particular slide is this. We will find it all, if we do not obey what He has clearly said in the past, we will find it almost impossible to hear what He's saying in the present. That's why the study of the scriptures are so important. We do what we know is clear. And as we follow in obedience, then it's easier to listen to the things that are not so certain, as He would prompt us and lead us and guide us through each day. We already had in our prayer earlier mention of the two great commandments, and I'm sure you know what it is, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We don't have to wake up in the morning and say, "Oh God, is it your will that I love my neighbor?" No, no. You don't have to do that. We know it's His will. It's so clear. It's so clear. So let's just get on and do it. All right? So I've got a little bit of a story here, not story, an illustration. If I gave you 144 marbles for Christmas and I asked you for two, would that be a problem? No, you've got 144. Come on, let me have two. So, how many 10-minute periods are there in 1 hour? There are six. How many hours are there in a day? 24. How many 10-minute periods are there in 1 day? 6 times 24, 144. You have 144 10-minute periods every day. God gives us 144 marbles every day. I'm asking you to give Him back two. I'm asking you, in the new year, spend 20 minutes sitting quietly like Mary, doing the one thing that is needed. You do that? Learning to listen to His voice. Second thing I'd like to ask you to do, to consider doing in the new year, is to spend part of that 20 minutes reading a short portion of the Gospels. Now, I'm saying this not to those of you who've got a wonderful Bible reading plan and God speaks to you consistently through that reading plan every day. I'm speaking to those of you who have heard the challenge to read the Scriptures every day and you have tried. You started in Genesis. Okay, Genesis hasn't been too bad. Exodus, okay. But when you hit Leviticus, that really was a struggle. And you didn't make it to Ezekiel. All right. And then you gave up because the Word didn't feed your soul. You see, throughout the centuries, it's been clear that the Bible teachers and the pastors have taught us there are two ways to read the Scriptures. You read the Scriptures for feeding your soul, and you also have to study the Scriptures. And you need to do both. And the study of the Scriptures takes a little bit more time here. You need the people who have been to Bible college to help us and the commentaries and so on. But that is not inspiration and that does not feed your soul. And for at least a thousand years, the pastors have recommended if you only have 2 or 3 minutes to read the Scriptures, read a short portion of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're not saying all 66 books aren't inspired. All 66 books are inspired. But the church has recognized that these four books are extra special. Why are they extra special? Because of what we thought about and prayed earlier. You were leading us in prayer. Who is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? We celebrated that at Christmas. When we look into the face of Jesus Christ, we are looking into the face of God. The best picture of what God is like is Jesus. And the Gospels give us the best picture of Jesus. And the Gospels have always been the best way to receive daily inspiration. So that's why many Bible reading plans have this. You read a short portion of the Gospels and another part of the Old Testament or other part of the New Testament. But every day you stay in the Gospels, you keep your focus on Jesus because Jesus is God. And we have been predestined to become like Him. We want to be like Him. We keep our focus on Him. So, my third challenge to you as you go into New Year, as I already mentioned, catch the inspiration in writing. Fourthly, I hope that you would, in that 20 minutes, make this your daily prayer. And this is a way in which to encourage you to listen to the prompting of God's Holy Spirit. Every day pray this simple prayer. Show me at least one act of kindness that you would like me to do for someone today. And you're sitting there quietly. And you're sifting through the thoughts. And if the thought is a loving and kind and generous and sacrificial thought, I suggest to you that could come from the Lord. And then you just do it and you obey. You don't have to ask, "Oh God, is it right for me to be kind today?" You know, there'll be so many ways. A simple act of kindness, a phone call, an email, an SMS, or whatever it is, or asking somebody out for lunch, or playing tennis with somebody. You know, just so many acts of kindness that you can do. But every day, to make this a part of your way of getting into a dialogue form of prayer with the Lord. And then Pastor Graham's prayer for us. Join a small group. If I had the time, I would take you through the whole of John chapter 13. I believe in John chapter 13, when he gave us the new command, it was a command to do what he did, to gather a small group of disciples and follow the Lord together. I don't think joining a small group is an option. I think it's a clear biblical command. So meet regularly and ask them to help you do this one thing that is needed, listening daily to the voice of God. We need small groups to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. So for the year ahead, I sense the Lord saying to us, prepare my people for great trials. That's reflected also in the pastoral reflection and in the prayers that were made. The Lord never promised us an easy time, and we need to be prepared for that. We live still in the midst of sorrow and pain. And the Lord tells us to take up our cross every day and follow him. So his teaching is clear. He doesn't promise us a life without sorrow. In fact, he has asked us to embrace the cross and follow him. But that doesn't mean to say there won't be joys and successes and blessings. Let's prepare, expect, and pray for great blessings, that the Lord will bless this church and your lives and your families together. So there's a little bit of a tension here, but that's what it is as we go into the year ahead. And I do pray, as I've been saying, that you'll be able to do the one thing that's necessary, needed, learning every day like Mary to sit quietly at the feet of God. Prayer must be a two-way conversation, and we pray on our own and learn to listen, but more importantly, we learn to listen as a whole community to what God may be saying to us. So just a very quick summary, I'm hoping. I'm going to sing you a song very briefly, and some of you who know the song can join me, but I'm hoping that as I sing this song, you will make a commitment to do something in the year ahead. Determine to spend those 20 minutes, like Mary, doing the one thing that's needed. Maybe for those of you who haven't been consistent in Bible reading, just a short portion of the Gospels until something registers, and then just stop and maybe write down that verse from the Scripture. So begin a prayer journal to catch the inspiration, a daily act of kindness, and seriously consider joining a small group. Only one thing is necessary. Let's learn to add listening to our prayer. This is a song that I'm going to sing for you. And in the time, if there are any here, you've been coming to this church, or maybe it's even the first time you're here, and you've never given your heart to Christ, this song has helped many of us give our hearts to Christ. And even for those who have given our hearts to Christ before, I ask you to sing this song with me or silently in your hearts as a way of dedicating yourself. And perhaps one of those commitments that I've asked you to make, you will make it as we sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Amen.